If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts 20. Once again, we're continuing our series through the book of Acts, the series that we've been walking through for a year and a half now. And I hope this, I hope that you're not going, oh great, Acts again. I hope you're not out there getting bored with it. I know for me, I'm not. I'm loving the book of Acts, and it's been encouraging for me, because even though I'm the one up here sharing the message, each week God is teaching me and challenging me first as I wrestle with these scriptures and do my best to kind of hear the Lord and what the Lord is wanting to speak to us as a church, and oftentimes to me. I think a lot of times I'm just sharing what God is like speaking to my heart up here, okay? And so I hope that you guys are encouraged as I am in what God's doing in and through this series as we continue to walk through it. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read Acts 20, verses 13 through 24. This is what it says. It says, "We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Azis, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Azis, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day we set sail for there and arrived off Chios. The day after that we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, 'You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace.'" Now, for the last several chapters here in Acts, we've been walking with Paul on this journey of taking the gospel to all people. And in this process, we've been seeing a lot of Paul. We've been learning a lot about this amazing man of God. And the thing about Paul is this. I think sometimes when we look at the life of Paul, we see this like amazing prophet, this amazing apostle, this amazing man of God, and we put him on this pedestal as if he's this super Christian that no one could ever be like. But here's the thing. We have to remember that Paul was a human just like us. And we can't forget that Paul, he's the same guy who, in the early chapters of Acts, was hunting down Christians to kill them. He was killing Christians. And Paul himself, in the scriptures, even refers to himself as the chief of all sinners. Right now, we look at Paul and we look at this man, and it's like, come on, man, really the chief of all sinners? But he refers to himself as that. It's because he knew he was a sinner. He knew he had made a lot of mistakes, especially early on, especially in the beginning. But here's the thing about Paul. Paul didn't live his life in the past. A lot of us, we live our life in the past. And it can be both ways. We can live in the glory days, you know, or we can live in the failures, right? But Paul didn't live his life in the past. Yes, he was anti-Jesus at a time in his life. Yes, he had killed Christians, these people that Jesus loved. But he was now saved by grace. And the thing about Paul was he lived life moving forward. He lived life moving forward. He knew that he couldn't change the past, but he could change his present and his future. And the same is true for us. We may have messed up pasts, but God wants to change our today so that we can ultimately change our future, right? We can't live in the past. We can't allow our failures back here to keep us from the things that God wants to do in our life out here. He wants us to live life moving forward, to live life in such a way that our future isn't skewed by our past, right? Paul is a guy who we see here in Acts that lives life forward. And so today, I want to look at this section of Scripture with this idea of living life forward. How do we change our lives and our future for the better? How do we put our past behind us and look to live the life that God has called us to live? And I think out of these scriptures that we read this morning, as I went through them, there were five things that God spoke to me about living life forward. And so I want to share those with you this morning. The first one is this. Living life forward requires alone time with God. Living life forward requires alone time with God. In Acts 20:13, it's really interesting. It says, "We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Azis, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He made this arrangement because he was going there on foot." So it's kind of interesting here. Paul put everyone else on the ship, told them to go to Azis, where he would meet them and board the ship. Then there later, 20 miles later, he would get on with them. And the question is why, right? Why didn't Paul just get on the ship with everyone else? Why did he go by foot? Now, the truth is, no one really knows for sure why Paul did this. There's a lot of opinions and views and thoughts of why Paul might have done this. Nothing in Scripture explains it for us, though. But I wonder if Paul didn't want to have some time where he could just be alone with the Lord. You know, last 2 weeks ago, Tyler came and spoke. And usually his son comes up with him, and his son loves to come. His son actually loves my son and loves to come and hang out with Toby. But because of a sporting event, he couldn't come up. And Tyler, I said, "Oh, you know, hey, how was the drive? You know, I didn't have Aiden with you." And he said, "You know, sometimes it's just kind of nice to be alone and just be able to seek the Lord and be in His presence." And I wonder if that's not what Paul was doing here, that Paul took some time just to walk this by himself so that he could just be alone and be with the Lord. Because in the Scripture, Paul talks about the fact that he wasn't sure what the future was going to look like for him. In verse 23, he says, "I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Hallelujah, right? Isn't that what we want to hear? What do you got next for me, Lord? Prison and hardships. Amen. Preach it, brother. I wonder if Paul didn't need some alone time with the Lord as he was processing what was ahead of him. Some time to prepare his heart for what he was going to be facing soon. Because I know that Paul knew the importance of taking time to be alone with the Lord, to grow in Him. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, do we understand the importance of alone time with God? We live in a fallen, broken world, and the reality is our human nature is going to always choose to live the life of the world over the life of the Lord. It's our human nature. It's natural. We're going to choose the things of the world, which is why we need to have alone time with God, to seek Him, to allow Him to be our strength, because we need His guidance. We need His power if we're going to live life forward. And can I be honest with you this morning? You know, I told you these messages, it's the Lord speaking to me first and foremost. This is an area that I've been struggling with lately. Oh, what a pastor. Struggling with spending time with the Lord. And it's honestly been ever since I got out of the hospital. I've been struggling to find alone time with God. I've allowed, you know, my pain. I've allowed the reality of being so far behind in things. I've allowed those things to get the best of me. I've been too busy to spend time with the Lord. And I realized that it's affecting me. It affects me as a pastor. It affects me as a father, as a husband. It affects me in so many ways. I realize I've been spending just enough time to get my message done on Sunday. But beyond that, I know that I'm falling short. And if I want to be the man of God who lives life forward, I need to get back to spending time alone with the Lord, spending time in His presence, allowing Him to work in me. And I want to say, if you find yourself in a similar place, I would encourage you to do the same, to take time to go and be alone with the Lord, because it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in our relationship with Him. It enables us to live life forward, to put our past behind us, and to live the life that He's called us to live. Now, the second thing God spoke to me about these scriptures is this, is that living life forward requires right priorities. Now, obviously, we won't have quality time alone with God if our priorities aren't right. We can't be in two places at the same time, right? Which is what Paul understood here. In verse 16 it says, Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Paul could have stopped in Asia, and I'm sure there are some great things that he could have done in Asia, but he knew his top priority was to get to Jerusalem. And the question I think we have to ask ourselves on a regular basis is do we have our priorities in order? Are our priorities right? Because in this fallen, upside down, messed up world, it's easy to lose sight of what's really important. The world will tell us what's important. But when we spend time alone with God, He reveals what's really important to us. It's easy for us to lose sight. It happens to the best of them. Let me share with you a story I read this week about Billy Graham, right? When we think of Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists of all times, this amazing man of God. But listen to this story. It says, in the middle of a funeral for a friend's wife, the aging Billy Graham paused to make an apology to all those who were a part of his evangelistic team. As he looked out over the many families and the various generations represented, Billy Graham began to cry. He then tearfully stated, I want to take this moment to apologize to the families of all the members of my team and to apologize to my own children. We stayed away from home too long. Many times, months at a time, in crusades and trips around the world. That was a critical mistake I made as a father and as evangelist. I want to ask for my family to forgive me and for the families of all the team members who traveled with me to forgive me for this mistake. It's easy for us to get our priorities out of whack. Which is why we need to take time to regularly evaluate our priorities. Where is God in our priorities? Where is our family in our priorities? Where's the ministry that God's called us in our priorities? And here's the big thing for me. I got to be careful. Because pastors and people in ministry, it's real easy for us to say that the ministry is God. And we begin to put the ministry above our family. When it comes God, our family, and the ministry. And it's understanding what's God, because God does come first. But what's ministry? What are these other things? Where are my priorities? If we want to live life forward, if we want to live life in a way where when we look back, we don't have regrets or great regrets, because we're always going to have some regrets, right? But where we don't have great regrets, then we need to live life with right priorities. Third thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Living life forward requires a life of commitment. Once Paul encountered Jesus, he lived a life fully committed to the Lord. Listen to what he says in verses 18 and 19. He says, "When they arrived, he said to them, 'You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents.'" Paul was committed to serving the Lord no matter what God asked of him. He knew that serving God was going to lead to hardships and even prison, right? He's been told this by the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't stop him from serving the Lord. It doesn't stop him from living his life for Jesus. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, how many of us are that committed? What if God told us tomorrow to sell everything and get ready to go to Africa to be missionaries? How many of us would say, "Yes, Lord"? Or how many of us would be like, wait a second. Is that really you, God? Right? We try to make up these voices in our head like it's somebody else or something else. How many of us would do it? Now the truth is, God's probably not going to ask many of us to do something this extreme. Now I'm not saying He won't. And if He does, I hope that you're committed and willing to do it. But most of us, it might not be this extreme, but He is asking us to commit to following Him. To commit to live the lives that He's called us to live. And for us as a church, it means to love Him with all that we are, right? To love people. To see His kingdom extended. To do these things in a way that draws others to Him. Which leads me to my fourth point, which is this. Living life forward requires us to share the good news. In verse 20 and 21, Paul says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." There's a couple verbs here in these scriptures. According to these scriptures, Paul didn't hesitate to preach. He didn't hesitate to teach or to declare the good news of Jesus. Wherever he went, that's what he did. His old life was against Jesus. His new life was about sharing who Jesus was, sharing the good news with others. One of the things that helps us continue to live life forward is when we share with others what Jesus is doing in our lives or what He's done in our lives. Paul's life had been radically changed. Radically changed. And because of this, he couldn't help but tell others about Jesus, tell others about the good news. And so we ask ourselves, has our life been changed? Has our life been radically changed? If so, we need to be willing then to share that with others. We need to let other people know the impact that Jesus has had on our lives so that they can experience that same impact for themselves. If you've been around here for very long, you've heard me say, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. The greatest way for us to share the good news with others is for them to see it in our lives. It's my favorite scripture, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father in heaven. And the question is, do people know? Do people know that we love Jesus? Can people see the effect that He's had on our lives? Because if the answer is no, then maybe we need to go back and look at the first three points again from this morning. Because if we're spending time with the Lord, alone time with Him, if we have our priorities in line, and if we're committed to the Lord, then our lives should look different. They're going to look different. We don't have to preach the gospel. People will be asking us what's different about our lives. They will be coming to us. And it's then that we can use those necessary words to help people fully understand the good news and how it can make a difference in their lives. Amen? The final, the fifth thing that I want to share with you this morning is this. Living life forward requires us to stay focused on the finish. It requires us to stay focused on the finish. In verse 24, Paul says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me." Paul, he was focused on the finish. His whole life was about finishing well. And because of this, he was able to live life forward with this clear conscience. Regardless of his past, regardless of his failures, regardless of his mistakes, he was able to live life with a clear conscience because he knew the goal and he set himself for that finish and for that goal. How many of us live life with a clear conscience? Now, I've heard it said that a clear conscience is often the result of a poor memory. Right? Oh yeah, I have a clear conscience. I don't remember what I did yesterday. But Paul had a clear conscience because he had obeyed the Lord and he stayed focused on the finish. He knew what he was called to do. It's so easy for us to get distracted. In this world that we live in, there's so many things around us that can distract us. We live in a day and time where there is more going on around us than there has ever been in the history of existence. It's crazy. I mean, with computers, with cell phones, with the internet, there are more things to distract us and pull us away from the life that God has for us. I mean, I think back 35 years, right? When I'm 10 years old, I mean, we had like four TV stations that we could watch, all right? Now, maybe we never had cable, so maybe there was more out there on cable, but you know, we had four TV stations, you know, you could watch. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have internet. We didn't have so many of these things that can distract us and pull us away. And today it's like we're just inundated with things in this world that can distract us. I mean, you can pull out this little phone and stay in the same place for 5 hours doing all these things. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, there are so many different things that can pull us away from the Lord. Which is why more than ever we have to stay focused on the finish. We have to stay focused on the task at hand. What is our purpose on this earth? Why are we here? Isn't that the greatest question of all times, right? Why are we here? We know as Christians why we're here. What I'm about to say, I've said hundreds of times. I probably said it two or three times this morning in the midst of worship. But it comes from a book I read seven or eight years ago titled Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. And if you go read that book, I don't know, I'm not the scholar or whatever. It was a tough book to read, a little dry. But two of the greatest points I've ever pulled out of a book. And in that book, he said, basically, we have two purposes in life. The first is to glorify God in all that we do. You've heard me say this time and time again. That's the whole reason we were created. God created us to glorify Him, to worship Him. And not in this, you know, weird, sadistic, worship me way, but in this loving connection, relationship that we get to serve and love and honor and bring glory to our God. It's why we were created. We can't lose sight of this. We have to stay focused of this fact. But the second part is equally important, and it's the hardest part. Glorify God in all that we do and delight in doing it. Delight in doing it. God, He's given us free will. Do you understand that? He's not forcing us to worship Him. He's created us and He's given that free will. We can choose to worship Him or we can choose not to. But He's given us this free will. But His desire is that we would choose Him, that we would choose to glorify Him, but that it wouldn't be a burden. He doesn't want us to be like, fine, I want to go to heaven, so I'm just going to serve you, God. Right? I want to make sure I don't burn in hell, so I'm going to get my fire insurance and say yes to you, Jesus. Because that's how some people, that's how we respond. But that's not God's desire. He loves us. And He wants us to choose to glorify Him and that it wouldn't be a burden, but instead that it would be a delight. I get to glorify the God of this universe. I get to have relationship and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, it's like when you're young and you have that girl that you like, right? You would do anything for her. Or if you're a girl, the guy that you like, okay? You would do anything for her. I mean, you would lay down your life for this girl because you have these feelings for her. She's wonderful. You know what I'm talking about, some of you. You know that first crush, you know, that you had where you would do anything. And it wasn't a chore. I mean, I used to do all sorts of things for my wife before we were married. You know? After we got married, I figured, hey, she's got the ring and I don't need to do anything else, right? No. I'm just joking, sort of. I say sort of. It's not my heart, but sometimes I allow that to come out. So, but my point is this, is that when we love something, we want to do things for them. We want to honor them. And that's what God wants from us. He doesn't want us to be this burden. He wants us to desire and to delight in serving Him. He wants it to be a joy for us to glorify Him, that we'd want to please Him and honor Him in all that we do. You see, for Paul, you could see it. You can see it in Paul's life. For Paul, it was a blessing to serve the Lord. Man, someone that would write the scripture, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That guy's messed up, right, when you first hear it. But it's because of his love for the Lord. He was willing to do anything for Him. It was a blessing for him to serve the Lord. He took great joy in knowing that he brought honor to the name of Jesus. And it was because he was faithful to stay focused on the finish. And I believe if we can stay focused on the finish, it will enable us to live life forward. No longer focusing on the failures of our past, but instead focusing on the life that we have in and through Jesus as we learn to glorify Him in all that we do and delight in doing it. My final thing this morning is just, let me encourage you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your past. We have a Savior who paid the price for those things. The enemy loves to remind us of those things. The enemy loves to tell us how we failed so many years ago. Or even last week. Oh yeah, you call yourself a Christian. Remember you did that last week. Remember what you said about that person? Remember those thoughts you were having? To even think with malice is like committing murder. You're a murderer. The enemy loves to say those kind of things to us. But Jesus, He paid the price for our sins so that we don't have to live in our sin, that we don't have to live in our past, but that we can live life moving forward. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can live life forward, living the life that He's called us to live. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. This is a day that You have made, and Lord, we want to rejoice in that. And we can rejoice because You are God. And because, Lord, You are our Savior. You have come and You have paved a way, Lord, for us to have life and life abundant. That, Lord, You have taken away our sin. You have taken away our failures and given us new life in You. And my prayer for each of us today is that we can put our past behind us and begin to live life forward. Begin to live the life that You've called us to live, Lord. Doing our best to take time to be in Your presence, Lord. To allow You to work in us and to strengthen us and to guide us. To be people who get our priorities in order, Lord. Making sure that we have right priorities. Making sure that, Lord, we're doing the things that You've called us to do. That we're living lives that are committed to You, Lord Jesus. Doing our best to serve You and honor You in all that we do. That we're living lives in a way that draws others into relationship with You. That Lord, as we seek to serve You and are committed to You, that we're sharing Your love with others in a way that draws people to You. And that ultimately, Lord, through it all, we're staying focused on the finish. That we don't lose sight of what You've called us to do, to glorify You and delight in doing it. And in doing so, drawing others into Your presence. And so we thank You for these things, Lord. May You allow this word to challenge us where we're at today. If there's areas where we're falling short, whether it's spending time with You, whether it's our priorities, whether it's our commitment, Lord, whether it's not being open with others about You and sharing our faith, if it's losing sight, Lord, and focus of the end. Whatever it may be, Lord, just speak to us where we're at. Challenge us and show us, Lord, how do we get back on track? How do we begin to live the lives that You've called us to live, Lord? We thank You for Paul. We thank You for the example that he was, Lord, and this amazing man of God, but we know that he was human. And he was only able to do these things through the power of the Holy Spirit that lived in him, Lord. May we tap into Your power each and every day to live the lives that You've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.